Welcome to the Friday Night Clive podcast with me, Clive Payne. In this podcast, we look back at the amazing charities, organisations and people we have chatted to over the past few months, all of whom have interesting and important stories to tell. Now, if you're young and fit, how would you cope with the challenge that my next guest is set to undertake? Alan Jones Brad is readying himself for his 80x80 challenge. So what's that then? And why is he doing it? Quite frankly, I think he's barking. I mentioned being young. Well, Alan's approaching his 80th birthday and he's in front of me now and doesn't look a day over 27. Good evening, Alan.
Better put your glasses on there, Clive. Good evening.
Thank you very much for spending your Friday evening with me. First of all, Alan, tell me more about you. What's your background? What did you do for a living?
Well, I was in the carpet trade when I left school. Mm-hmm. My brother was a carpet fitter at Hill and Long in West Bromwich, a mm-hmm. posh furniture store and carpet store. And he got me a salesman's, my junior job in the carpet department, where I stayed till I was after my 21st birthday. And then I stayed in the carpet trade for all my working life.
Gosh.
I spent 54 years mm-hmm. in carpets, embracing every aspect. From the retail side of it, into manufacturing, into the technical side and the practical side and the fitting side, installation, etc. In the last position I had in the carpet industry, I had my own business where I created and developed a unique carpet product, and I was awarded an international quality award for it, presented to me by the Duke of York, no less, in 2004. Mm-hmm. But basically, I spent the whole of my life in the carpet industry.
Right.
I was born and brought up in Great Bridge.
And to say you are from Great Bridge originally,
yeah,
aren't you?
Yeah, Tipton Staffs.
Yeah.
It used to be in Staffordshire.
It did, yeah.
And then they changed it. So I'm very proud of my heritage and very proud of my upbringing.
Splendid. And what an illustrious career as well. Now, talk to me about the AJB 8080 Challenge then, Alan.
Yes.
Tell me all about that. Why are you doing this?
I really don't know.
as good an answer as any.
Well, I've said this before. I don't like repeating myself too much, but about 4 years ago, my wife and I went on a short break to the Scilly Isles.
Right.
And I suppose it's had a lasting effect on my mental state.
Right.
Which led me into thinking into 2019, it suddenly dawned on me that I would soon be approaching my octogenarian status. So I thought, well, I've got to do something to celebrate this. Most people, a few years ago, used to celebrate 3 score years and 10 as an achievement. Well, 4 score years is a better achievement, so I thought. I thought, well, let's think of a way we can do something and celebrate it. And the first thing that came to my mind was an 80x80 theme. Mm-hmm. Because I would be 80 years old, it's got to be something resonating different challenges.
Yeah.
Because I had a hip replacement 7 years ago, and I've got a metal plate in my left ankle after a double fracture 5 years ago, I'm not as mobile as I used to be or as active as I used to be. So I thought, what can I do to make it a worthwhile challenge for a man approaching 80. So I thought of more genteel challenges.
Right.
As opposed to my former life where I used to do a lot of long-distance, ultra-distance running. So I took up bowling in 2017, and my wife got me into the habit, so it's her fault. And I was told I was reasonably good at it, so I carried on doing it. And I must be reasonably good at it because I bowl for my county, Worcestershire, outdoors. I bowl for my county, Worcestershire, indoors. I bowl indoors and outdoors regularly. And I'm okay. I don't profess to be brilliant at it, but I'm okay. And for my age, I've achieved quite a bit, really. So I'm quite pleased with that. And so I thought bowling could be one of my challenges. Then what about the other? I used to play quite a bit of golf. In fact, being a West Bromwich Albion supporter for my sins, in 2006 I created and formed the WBA Supporters Golf Society, and I run that for 12 years until 2018. So I used to organise a charity golf day every year, and I'm quite proud that in my time with the society we raised over £32,000 for different charities from one golf day a year.
Brilliant.
So that, I was quite pleased with that.
Mm.
So I thought golf could be another challenge. And because I used to do a lot of walking, running, beg your pardon, I'm now doing a lot of walking, I thought, well, that would be my third challenge. And actually, indoor and outdoor bowling, golf and walking make a quadrathon of events. It's a posh word, isn't it?
It is.
It is. I didn't know what it meant at first. I had to look it up. But it's four events, and they're more genteel sports that one would normally tackle. But altogether, they make quite a considerable challenge, because I'll be bowling in consecutive days, mm-hmm. starting on Monday the 22nd of August at Malvern Hills Indoor Bowling Club. I'll be bowling 40 ends of bowls that day, 20 ends of the morning, 20 ends in the afternoon. And I'll be bowling with four bowls instead of everybody else bowls with two. My 80 times 80 theme, 20 times 4 is 80 mm-hmm. bowls in the morning and 80 bowls in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. The next day, I go to a different surface, Stourport, outdoor bowling club of which I'm a member. I'll be bowling the same format there, 80 ends of bowls. 40 ends of bowls in the day. And on Wednesday, the 24th of August, I bowl the same format outdoor again at St Dunstan's Bowling Club in Worcester. And then to finish it all off, or possibly finish me off with the bowling, on Thursday the 25th, I bowl at Bromsgrove Indoor Bowling Club, of which I'm a member. And that will finish my bowling challenge. Then on Monday the 29th of August, I commence my 80 holes of golf challenge. My first challenge will be at Wharton Park Golf Club at Bewdley on Monday the 29th, where I'll be doing 27 holes of golf. 9 holes, break for lunch, 18 holes immediately afterwards. On Wednesday the 31st of October, I'll be bowling the same format at Ombersley Golf Club. And on Friday the 2nd of September, I'll be bowling the same format at Bewdley Pines Golf Club. All three of those golf clubs I was a former member of. I packed up playing golf in 2019 for a variety of reasons, because mm-hmm. I took up bowling. And then with one day's break after the golf on Saturday, the 3rd of September, I start my 80 miles of walks on Sunday the 4th of September, doing 20 miles of Bridge North, on in four counties, by the way, mm-hmm. so Bridge North in Shropshire. On Monday, the 5th of September, I'm in Staffordshire, 20 miles across Cannock Chase. On Tuesday, the 6th of September, I'm in Worcestershire, doing a 20-mile walk, which I've created myself. And then on, to finish it all off, and possibly finish me off, the final challenge of all the challenges will be a 20-mile walk along the Millennium Way in Warwickshire, starting and finishing at Henley in Arden. And so that's what constitutes my 80 times 80 challenge. And all the challenges will be completed within an 11-day period. There's no room for error for me. There's no time for me to be ill or injured. So whatever happens to me, I've got to plod on through and do it. And
well, if I was wearing a hat, I'd take it off to you, Alan, because there is no way I'd be able to complete anything like that, certainly not within that time scale. You know, I mean, how do you prepare yourself for this mentally and, I suppose, physically too?
Well, we've always had a stubborn streak, my family. So I'm a stubborn sod, I suppose, so I don't give up.
Sorry
easy.
About that naughty word, folks.
I beg your pardon.
Carry on.
I am a black country lad, after all.
Sorry about that. Carry on.
So it's difficult. Once I set myself a challenge, I've got to see it through. I've never yet not completed a challenge I've set myself up for.
Mm.
And I've done very many of those in my time and over the years. It is difficult. The training, as you get older, your body gets weaker,
yeah.
Your skin gets thinner, and you pick up more injuries to yourself than you normally would do. It takes longer to recover from them. But you got to keep going. And I'm out walking virtually every day. In fact, I did quite a pounding on the treadmill at home this morning because I knew I was coming here this evening. I don't want to be too shattered. So I did 80 minutes of pretty sustained high-speed walking mm-hmm. on the treadmill this morning, doing about 5 miles in 40 minutes. So that was quite a challenge, quite a difficult thing to do. I'm trying to walk at a pace that would be acceptable for me to do the walking challenges in a reasonable time, trying to walk three miles in an hour. That's 20-minute miles.
Mm.
At the moment, I'm achieving that, so I'm quite pleased with that. Good. In fact, on Sunday last week, on a very hot day, I completed my longest training walk so far. And there's 2 months to go yet before the walking starts. I completed 18 miles. And I did that in 6.5 hours. That allowed a lunch stop and a couple of comfort stops. I was very, very pleased with that.
Mm.
And I also, when I used to do a lot of running, they used to have an experience called hitting the wall between 18 and 22 miles if you're running a marathon. I think I've invented a new expression for walkers.
Mm-hmm.
That's gliding the gravel, because I was getting quite a fair pace on.
Mm.
I happened to glance at my watch and I tripped up over a piece of stone in the gravel path, and I went gliding along the gravel.
Oh, crumbs!
Ripped my arm open.
Oh, yeah,
my knee
still
open,
see those wounds.
Covered in mud and stuff, but you get up, dust yourself down,
get on with it.
Get
don't
on
you?
With it.
Absolutely.
I called at the there's a pub on the way back where I went and had a quick wash down and then completed another 5 miles to get me back home.
And a quick drink while you're in there.
No, water. I limited myself to water and tea.
That's what I was thinking. Something like that.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yes. Well, look, you're asking for sponsorship for these challenges, aren't
yes.
you? And who will you be giving the money to?
Well, for very personal charities to myself, this is the main reason why mm. I decided to do these challenges.
Mm-hmm.
They're for Motor Neurone Disease mm-hmm. Association,
mm-hmm.
Alzheimer's Society,
mm-hmm.
Prostate Cancer Support Group,
yes,
and Diabetes UK.
Right.
Now, the reason they're very important to me, I've lost 4 brothers as a result of each one of those diseases or illnesses. So it's very personal to me.
Mm.
I lost my eldest brother, Dennis, who died when he was aged just 50 from motor neurone disease, and he had lasted 18 months. Dennis had a twin, my sister, Hilda, who is still alive today, and she's under 24/7 care in Princess Lodge Nursing Home mm-hmm. in Tipton. She's 95. Yet my brother Dennis died at 50.
Mm.
So tragic.
Yeah.
My brother Stanley, who was my second oldest brother, he was the one who had diabetes. And my brother Don, who I used to do a lot of long distance and ultra distance running with, marathons, etc., in the mid-1980s, he got me into running, and he sadly passed away 2 years ago with dementia. That's why Alzheimer's Society comes into it. And the fourth charity, prostate cancer, my brother Ivan, who was the last brother to die in January, 4 years ago, had very severe prostate cancer. We didn't think he was going to recover from it. He did because of the new treatment, but sadly it wrecked his body. And he carried on as long as he could, and he passed away in January. So those are the four mm. charities, and that's the reason.
How much are you looking to raise, though, Alan?
Again, based on an 80 times 80 theme, it's 80,000 quid, which seems a daunting and unbelievable and unachievable amount of money.
I'm confident that you will do that, you know. How much have you got raised so far, do you know?
I think about 12 or 1300 quid at the moment.
Okay.
And we haven't started the challenges yet.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds a lot of money, but if you break it down like everything else, and figures can be what you want them to be. I've never been one about figures and money, but it is important because these four charities have lost 2 years of collecting funds because of COVID. They've still been treating many thousands of people with the diseases they've got, motor neuron, dementia, etc. They've still been having to help these people and running the resources down, but they've not been able to replace those resources. So it's a really big opportunity, this, to plough some of these funds back into the charities and to replace what they've not been able to collect over the last 2 years.
Sure. Now, you mentioned earlier on that you have an artificial hip and a plate in your ankle joint. Now, as I say, you're doing more than people half your age who are probably fitter. So how do you keep going? We've talked about how you prepare for these challenges, but just on a day-to-day basis, I mean, you're clearly very fit. You've got your treadmill at home, but how do you keep going? Plus the mental part of it as well, because that's equally important.
Yeah, the mental stuff. I've always been, well, as I said earlier, I'm quite stubborn. I don't give up easily. And the mental state is something I've had a very strong mental aspect.
Mm.
I've never give up anything. I always look at the positives. I very rarely look at the negatives. It's so easy to make an excuse to stop doing something or not to do something. It's so much more difficult to make the excuse to carry on and do it, and in fact improve upon it if you can. And that's just a simple thought. I throughout my life I've always done that. I achieve what I think I can achieve. I don't try to go beyond what I think I can achieve. And that's why, although these challenges, I honestly fully believe I can do them. The walking is going to be the most difficult by a country mile, followed by the golf, followed by the bowls. But they're still very challenging sports to do because of the time scap. One after the other, after the other. It's a continuation of it. But I'm confident I can do it. And if I didn't think I could do it, I wouldn't even bother.
Sure.
But I'm very confident I'll do it. And that walk last Sunday, although it shattered me, gave me more belief than ever that 20 miles a day would be a piece of cake when it comes.
Who is supporting you, Alan, with all this, particularly the walk?
Well, no one really, except I'm trying to get people to join me on the walks. The charities, I've asked the charities if they can get some of their members to come and join me on the walks. Barry Durbin from Millennium Way walks. Barry Durman, sorry, beg your pardon. He's been a big help and created, he's condensed three walks into one figure of eight walk for me to do the Millennium Way. He's been a big help. And my son has been a big help for me, Hayden. He's done all the posters for me, which I've been putting about all over the place. My son-in-law Lee and my daughter Helen have done the route for the Cannock Chase walk. I joined the Ramblers last November to try and get some support and some idea of how to do my walks, but it's a different type of walking they do to what I'm doing, so that's more rambling up hills and down dales. I want to be on the flat and just get a decent speed on. So I've not been out with them only a couple of times since I've been a member, but I hope to carry on with them after I finish these challenges, when I should be fitter and more able to join them in their walks.
Sure.
But other than that, the all I can say, the venues though for both the bowls and the golf have been superb. Without their help and support, I could never even do any of the challenges, because the bowling challenges, they allow me the use of the greens and all the facilities, and for people coming to join me, wanted to join in, allowing them to bowl. and also the same with the golf clubs. And they've got dedicated times for me to tee off, etc. So without their help and support, it would be impossible to do. So it's been a long, hard slog over the last, especially the last 2 years, to get all this together, to organise the challenges, to get them organised with the venues, to get the venues to agree on the dates, to get the dates, because it has to be in a certain time frame. Mm-hmm. My birthday's on the 9th of September, which is 2 days after I finished my challenges.
Right.
So it all had to be crammed into a couple of weeks period, really. Mm-hmm. To be able to have done that, it's been tremendous support from the venues. So I'm eternally grateful for them.
For anybody who's thinking about doing a challenge of any kind, not necessarily like this, how would you inspire and motivate them to do that?
Well, I think if you've got something you think you may be able to do, do it. If you remember, a couple of years back, Captain Tom walked 100 times up and down his garden. He raised 32 million quid. I mean, to celebrate his 100th birthday. Now, that seemed a cracker's idea at the time, but good luck to Tom, the late Tom, sadly now. But he must have been an inspiration to many, many, many millions of people throughout the country. And you see people now who are going out and doing things they never thought they'd be able to do. Every day I pass people on the canal towpaths on the riverside, running and practicing running, and on bikes and biking. And good luck to them, because it's tremendous. For the first time in their lives, they probably realise they can do something, and so that's good for themselves, good for the body, keeps them fit and active, and who knows, they may want to do a bit of swimming, if that's a sport. Bit of knitting, crochery, I don't know. But it's whatever people want to do and whatever turns them on, so to speak.
Yeah.
That I think it's brilliant that if somebody's got a thought or an idea, go ahead with it. Don't be frightened of it, because there's always people out there who will support you. And if it's for a good cause especially, then you can't go wrong.
Do you know, my mum, my dear departed mother, always used to say to me, when I was little as well, and my dad, to be fair, and he used to say, it's better to have tried and failed than not tried at all.
Absolutely, absolutely. Oh, I've tried and failed many times.
Oh, I've tried and failed on something this year, and, you know, but I don't regret having a go at what I did.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I my running days, I put down to my brother Don. We didn't start running until we was nearly 40. So, you know, I was 39. Another thing I did, my brother Don ran the very first London Marathon in 1981.
Mm-hmm.
Between us, we ran 7 London Marathons each, and we ran over 54 marathons each in our time when we was running. We ran the Pennine Way in 1984 from Kirkyard home to Edale. We ran from John O'Groats to Land's End in 1985. In 20 days, and then we ran across the Republic of Ireland in 1986, where I kissed the Blarney Stone. That's why I talk a lot. and all those were for motor neurone disease because of the loss of my brother. In 1999, we did the last of our big runs, where we ran the length of the River Severn. Sadly, not on it, because there's only one person that could ever walk on water, but we ran the River Severn pathway from Plinlimmon in Wales, where it bubbles out the ground, down to the Bristol Channel. We did that for a Shropshire and Mid Wales hospice in 1999. And then the Cannock Chase People's Marathon, I created and organised in 1983 and ran it for 4 years. We got over 1,000 runners each year in that marathon. And we must have raised many tens of thousands of pounds for different charities as a result of that vehicle being provided for people to raise money. So, you know, it was impossible. Without a sponsor, we did that, and I did it for 4 years. And we were still able to put on a good event, as good as all the ones who got money coming out their ears. And also, we were the first marathon to have 3 races in one at the same time on the same track. There was the full marathon, started in Rugeley, went through Iacannock, where the half marathon finished, then carried on to finish the full marathon in Rugeley, Then we had a 10-kilometre fun run on the same time, on the same track, on the same time as the marathon was going on. Started on the Hensford Road and finished on the running track of Brierton in Rugeley, where the main marathon finished. First time it's ever been done. But we had a great turnout for that. And then we run that every year for four years. Mm-hmm. And then I created the Chase Grand Prix, a series of events throughout the year. Two cross-country races across the beautiful Cannock Chase. A 10-mile cross-country race and a 20-kilometre cross-country race at the beginning and the end of the season. Mm-hmm. And then a variety of different road races, as well as the marathon.
So you've very clearly been into absolutely everything, haven't you?
Well, I've had a go.
Well, that's what we were saying. You've got to have a go. It's better to have tried and failed than not tried at all. If we want to sponsor you, Alan, and I'm sure people do, how can we get in touch?
Well, this is the big thing, really. It is crucial that we try and get as much, as many donations as we can. I've got a Just Giving page up and running.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a bit of a mouthful of an address, I'm afraid, as but that's Just Giving's fault, not mine. Justgiving.com /crowdfunding/Alan, A-L-A-N, dash, or hyphen if you're posh, Jones, J-O-N-E-S, dash, or hyphen again, Brat, that's B-R-A-T-T. And that's the address you'll find.
Lovely. So justgiving.com/crowdfunding/Alan-Jones-Brat.
That's correct.
Alan, it's humbling to meet you. I'm honoured to meet you. And what a great inspiration you are as well. Alan Jones-Brat, thank you very much for talking to Friday Night Live.
That is your lot for this episode. You can catch the programme live every Friday night on Black Country Radio from 8 p.m. If you like our podcast, please subscribe by heading to blackcountryradio.co.uk/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts from. See you very soon. This is a Black Country Radio podcast presented by Clive Payne and produced by Andy Caddick.